This episode of The Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Do you want liberty in your lifetime? The Free State Project is our best chance. We are people who know that liberty will not be achieved by more of the same tactics and are committed to a strategy that will work. Check us out on the web at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
This is The Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's great to have as our guest today Mr. Russ Baker. Russ is an award-winning investigative reporter. And I want to say a lot of the people who are called investigative reporters are just sort of stenographers for the state. But he's an actual investigative reporter who looks into things that the power elite just assumed that we didn't know, looks into the lies told to us by the regime to further its power and its looting of the rest of us. And he has produced the most extraordinary book. It's called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put It in the White House, and What Their Influence Means for America. Russ, this is an extraordinary book. It's so well documented. It's so well written. It's got the whole story of the recent American history of the sort that they don't tell us in the public schools or in most universities, and certainly not in the media. So first of all, congratulations for writing this book. But tell me, what led you to write it?
You know, some years back, I had gone abroad to the former Yugoslavia, and I was training journalists there in how you can enhance a democracy in a country by asking vigorous questions. And while I was there, it was the run-up to the Iraq invasion, and it was becoming very, very clear to me that that war was being sold under misleading circumstances. And some of the reporters there challenged me, well, how much do you know about your own government? And I said, well, you know, not that much. And I went back to the U.S. in 2004, and I began traveling around the states asking a very simple question. How did George W. Bush, this most improbable of individuals, become president of the United States and most powerful person in the world? What was the real story, and did we fully understand it? And this sort of began a five-year odyssey that sort of ran me down the most remarkable rabbit's hole, really. And I discovered all these fascinating things about him, about his father, and really that completely changed my understanding of post-World War II American history.
Russ, you know, one of the things that's in your favor is a bad review you got at the Los Angeles Times, I guess shortly before they go out of business. And I was fascinated by the review because what the reviewer said was, don't read this book. In fact, anybody who asks the kinds of questions that are addressed in this book is not to be allowed in the public discussion, is to be entirely shut out and shut up and pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So this summed up for me the entire, you know, the entire establishment attitude towards the kinds of questions you ask. But thank goodness you asked these questions. And I know you trace a lot of the trouble back, not only beyond, you know, back beyond George W. Bush, to George H.W. Bush, and of course his father, Senator Prescott Bush, but certainly George H.W. always, you know, is portrayed as sort of a slightly bumbling but very sweet aristocratic guy who does his best, but maybe is slightly out of touch, when actually, of course, he's a very cold-blooded, typical member of the power elite, using the power of the state to rip us all off for the benefit of himself and his friends, and having no hesitation to kill people either, whether it's in wars or in other more direct actions. And for a long time, there's been certainly stories and rumors about, you know, that J. Edgar Hoover referred to an intelligence agent who was in Dallas on the day of the Kennedy assassination, George Bush. Was that George H.W. Bush?
Well, Lou, the answer to that is that, again, when I began digging into this book, I really had no agenda other than trying to figure out where the source of the Bush family power lay. It's important to note that the Bushes have been president or vice president for 20 of the last 28 years. I mean, this is astonishing. There is no family that has had that kind of power. And so I began looking at a number of questions, just very briefly, to answer your question about the Kennedy situation. While working on Family of Secrets, I began trying to understand, first of all, George W. Bush would never have been president if his father had not been president. And his father himself was really not that impressive a figure. And I began trying to understand how did the father had all of these successes. Why had the father been CIA director? In 1976, he had no background in intelligence. They were saying that he had no experience in that area. Nixon had made him UN ambassador. He had no experience in foreign affairs, all of these strange things. And what I began discovering was that the father had a secret life, that it appears, based on the documents and interviews that I have in Family of Secrets, that the father far from being what they call sort of an intelligence virgin in 1976, that he had been working in intelligence for his entire adult life, going all the way back to when he was a flyer in World War II. And I unearthed all these memos that are included in Family of Secrets, and we see, for as you point out, in 1963, the day after the Kennedy assassination, J. Edgar Hoover is briefing two intelligence operatives about Cuban movements and the assassination, and one of them is George Bush of the CIA. And all indications are that this is the same fellow. I then find out that on the day of the assassination, this is November 22, he goes and makes a phone call at almost precisely the moment that Kennedy's being declared dead, from about 40 miles from Dallas, and he's calling to supposedly report a tip on somebody who might be a suspect in the assassination. Well, I've got a whole chapter on this in Family of Secrets. Nobody's ever looked into this before, but basically the call is clearly bogus. The man he's claiming might be a suspect clearly is not. He actually knows the man. He knows he's giving the man an alibi at the same time he's calling to rat him out. And the best I could tell, the only purpose for that call is to establish, and he says on the call, I'm calling from Tyler, Texas at so-and-so time. He's trying to establish that he's not in Dallas. And as I point out in the book, he actually was in Dallas prior to making that call.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Is the growth of government driving you crazy? Is it frustrating you that you can't do anything about it? Now you can. Join the Free State Project. Move to New Hampshire and get active with other liberty activists who have already slowed the growth of government in New Hampshire. Go to freestateproject.org.
You reveal through this unbelievable research, and again, entirely documented in this book, and you've done all kinds of brand new research, discovered things about these events that even some of us who are on the outside of things thought we knew something about. All of us can learn so much from this book in so many ways. But it seems to me I've always believed the stories that were allegedly untrue about George W. Bush and his service in the National Guard and leaving and going AWOL and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
You actually show that, of course, it's true. It's all true that he actually got into the National Guard by, of course, his father pulling strings for him. And then when he left, whether he was drunk or on cocaine or whatever else, because he didn't want his final physical, he, of course, had no punishment and everything all covered up for him. And yet, of course, he was happily sending a lot of young Americans to be killed when he was starting a war.
Right. This was, Lou, this was sort of one of the dirty big secrets of the Bush family, that as you say, that the son, they supported the Vietnam War, yet they didn't want their son to go, so they got him into the safe National Guard unit. And I believe, I am told, that Family of Secrets is the most definitive documentation, without question, that he skipped out on at least 2 years of what was merely a safe National Guard service in the United States. Now, remember, Dan Rather was destroyed for this story, and yet it looks like he was right. And so, again, there are several chapters where I go into this whole story. One very interesting aspect is nobody ever asked whether his father knew anything, and, of course, his father was a congressman at the time from a powerful family. And what I established in the book was that it looks like the father did know and that the father may have had a hand in arranging what looks to be phony paperwork to get him out with an honorable discharge despite being, I guess, AWOL for 2 years. It's really astonishing. And if you think that he sent thousands of National Guardsmen to Iraq, you know, you go into the National Guard, you think you're going to be helping out in something like Hurricane Katrina, you don't think you're going to end up dying in Iraq. And yet he himself didn't even do his own National Guard service. So there's no statute of limitations on this. This is a felony. And, you know, the story has never been resolved.
Well, you know, here we have a guy who George W. Bush, his father's religious background was always sort of, mild Episcopalian. George W. Bush has always held himself out to be a deeply religious evangelical Christian Methodist. But you go into this question, too, as well in your book.
Right. About half of the book is about the father and the CIA, four new chapters of material on the Kennedy assassination, basically suggesting, strictly on facts and documents, and this was all new to me when I began to do it, that, in fact, it looks to me like if Oswald had any role in all of this, that he was part of a much larger intelligence operation surrounding the assassination. The second half of the – oh, and also I've got a number of chapters about new information information on Watergate and what that really was about. Again, I think pretty astounding stuff. The second half of the book is about George W. Bush and his rise to power. And basically what I discovered, I interviewed a man named Doug Weed, who was an advisor to the Bush family going back to the early 80s. Basically, he told the Bush family, if you guys don't get religion, and what I mean by this, if you don't embrace a more kind of a fundamental approach to religion, you are not going to get elected. And the father was being given this advice. He embraced it up to a point, and then the son wholly embraced it. Remember, he announced that he had been born again. Well, what's very interesting is we've got memos that establish that prior to George W. Bush declaring himself born again, they were being told that they ought to do this. And it's so cynical because, you know, this is a fellow who really wasn't just hiding the fact that he had drunken a bit. This is really what they tried to put out. But in fact, that the son hadn't accomplished anything. And so once he declared himself born again, millions of Americans decided this is a great guy. I don't care what he has done or hasn't done more appropriately. And he was on his way. And frankly, without the evangelical bloc, he never would have been president of the United States.
Well, that's true, and you know, I'm so glad you mentioned Watergate, because this book is full of so much extraordinary material. But talk to us a little bit about Watergate. I mean, Keith Olbermann, not one of my favorite people, has showcased John Dean as just a heroic defender of the Constitution, maybe a guy who made a few mistakes in the White House, but then entirely redeemed himself by becoming a defender of the law and of the truth and of the Constitution. But it's not true, is it?
Right. During the 5 years in which I researched Family of Secrets, what I did was I focused, as I say, on George H.W. Bush, the father, or Poppy, as he's known. And one of the things that struck me about him was that Richard Nixon gave him all of these opportunities that didn't make any sense, made him U.N. ambassador when he clearly knew nothing, was not qualified for the position, made him chairman of the Republican Party during Watergate, a very sensitive position, again, which he didn't seem to have any qualifications for. And I said, why is Nixon doing all these things for him? He's firing his whole cabinet, and he's keeping Poppy Bush. And what I discovered, again, much to my astonishment, because that's really what an investigative reporter is. You have to go in with an open mind and without any agenda. I was trying to figure out, why is he doing this? And the answer I discovered was that the Bush family basically controlled Richard Nixon, that going all the way back to the 1940s, and this is in no book, I don't care how many books you have about biographies of Richard Nixon, back in the 1940s, it appears that Richard Nixon was drafted to run for office by a group of Wall Street types, including Prescott Bush. And the reason that they wanted him to run was they wanted to knock out a congressman from California by the name of Jerry Voorhees. And the reason they wanted to knock him out, it turns out, is because Jerry Voorhees was suspicious of Wall Street and bankers, and he was calling for more government scrutiny of what was going on in those spheres. Obviously, it's a very sensitive and time-sensitive subject right now, with all of the disasters we're seeing on Wall Street, that people who want to investigate this stuff, they're brought down. And the Bushes appear to have had a role in bringing down this man, setting Richard Nixon up. By the time Richard Nixon became president, however, he was fed up with these guys. And Lou, you probably remember that Nixon was always sort of complaining about the Eastern establishment. He didn't really mean liberals. Who he meant was people like Prescott Bush, who were controlling him. And so when he became president, he thought, here's my chance for a legacy. He started doing his own thing. He and Kissinger had those secret back-channel negotiations with America's enemies, with the Soviets, with China. He began all kinds of measures, which actually were surprisingly liberal on the environment, on labor, on all of these things. And his former sponsors, you might say, began chafing. They became upset, and they said, this guy's too big for his britches. And what I discovered, and what I now believe to be the case, is that Watergate was a series of covert operations designed to discredit and eventually overthrow Richard Nixon. And the best evidence I have is that Nixon was surrounded by intelligence operatives and people who were working together to discredit him. And John Dean appears to have been one of those people. It also looks like Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, in his famous reporting, again, was skewed. It was, as best as I could tell, not accurate, and it was all designed for the same thing, which was to blame Richard Nixon for things with which he had nothing to do.
Of course, the Washington Post has long been, how shall I say, sort of CIA on paper. I mean, there are a lot of people at the Washington Post who have close connections to the CIA. And, of course, these are, again, issues we're not supposed to examine. We're not supposed to examine the role of intelligence in American life. We're not supposed to examine the role of the big banks, the big Wall Street banks. I would argue also the central bank, the Federal Reserve, which was set up by these same banking families openly in the early part of the last century. So, but now in a crisis situation, people start to have ears to hear a different approach, whether it's about the Fed and the banks and Wall Street, or whether it's about American history since World War II. And you have done such an extraordinary job with Family of Secrets. Really, I just want to urge everybody to buy this book, read this book. There'll be a link to it on the podcast page. Take a look at also at RussBaker.com, his website. Russ, congratulations on this book.
Thank you very much.
You reminded me a little bit of The Power Elite, the great Steve Wright Mills book from the 1950s, which I also highly recommend, as to understand how the power elite operates, why the civics class version of the way the American government and the American elites operate is entirely turned on its head. And if you want to understand real history, read Family of Secrets. And Russ Baker, congratulations and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. We've also got a website for the book. It's familyofsecrets.com.
Great. Look at familyofsecrets.com. Look at russbaker.com. And Russ, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Lou.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.